It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To get into, but the Guardians now behind in the ALDS 2-1 after a 3-0 loss to Detroit in Detroit today. A kick in the pants game here, JP, and we got a lot to get to in the show, but you guys can give us a call, 216-474-0092. This is a safe place. This is the trust tree with the nest. You guys are invited in to call in, give us your thoughts on this game. You guys can also pitch in at Nick Wilson Says, at Jay Peterlin, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. This is not complicated. There is a lot of ins and outs that we can get into on why they lost this game.
Yeah.
But it really starts with the bats had multiple opportunities to keep this team in the game. The bullpen gave them a chance. Alex Cobb gave them a chance. And every single time the bats got close, the Tigers bullpen either shut them down or the Guardians hit their way into a, you know, end of an inning kind of situation. Depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, and I think first and foremost, don't we have to put some of the blame on our two players that are worth $100 million?
Isn't one of them worth most of the $100
million? Andrés Giménez is a $100 million player. He's got one hit the entire postseason. J-Ram obviously is worth a lot more money than that. He's got one hit the entire season. You've gone 20 innings without scoring a run.
I think it's Hosey. Listen, if you were going to give him the love, and he deserves the love.
Yeah.
He really does. But he had in the middle of the game, a perfect opportunities, runners on base, multiple runners on base, and he swung for the fences. And then at the end of the game, in the eighth inning, where you just needed to get on base, he swung for the fences. We're going to use Jose because Jose's hitting .111 in this series. But to where you were, 100%. Like, this is not good enough. And this is the moment when you need Jose more than anything. And it is the moment, coincidentally, when Juan Soto has come through, when Bobby Witt Jr. has come through, when Aaron Judge.
A lot of the stars come through in these moments.
And so I'm not willing to do what some people on social media have done, which is, oh, he's just a good regular season player. But Jose had, you couldn't script it better, right? You could not script up the perfect kind of thing for him to have multiple chances in this game, and to go 0-for-3 with some just whopper of at-bats was just that's the kind of stuff. And we talk all the time about Deshaun Watson. Oh, if you're the quarterback and making all this money and you suck, it's going to kill the locker room. Yeah. Well, when your best hitter comes up and goes a big fat 0-for, especially with runners in scoring position, that's what happens. Today is what happens.
And I think a lot of people are going to show their... you don't want to kill him because he's your guy, and you know he's your guy, but this hasn't been good enough. Up and down the lineup, 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position today, Nick?
Yeah.
How do you go 20 innings without scoring a run? And we said going into this game, they're more than just Skubal. That bullpen, they've had very good numbers all season long. When you tune in to Detroit Sports Talk Radio, they have to remind themselves that we have a better bullpen than they have, because that's how high they think about their bullpen. Six different pitchers today. Didn't matter who they threw out there, though. The Guardians didn't have much of a chance. Well, the bats went cold in the most important game of the season.
And Brant Herder gave you opportunities. Six base runners in 3 1/3 innings. And I'll be honest with you. Also, can we just be honest? Steven Vogt got baited into going lefty heavy early in this. And when they pulled Montero, they then got Herder in for basically half of the game, third of the game, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Herder's a lefty, and you had a lefty lineup. And honestly, AJ Hinch schooled Steven Vogt in this one. I'm not going to relitigate game two, because that was a You lose games like that. Like, I'm losing. I'm okay losing
but that
with
that feeling of game two where it was like, oh, hey, good baseball game. You love to see that where it was a pitcher's duel and it came down to Clase versus Carpenter. And sometimes them's the breaks. That wasn't today.
Yeah. Well, and
today was the offense not showing up again. And then the pitching wasn't even bad, all things considered.
Yeah.
You got what you wanted out of them. You knew in game three you're going to have to be able to put some offense on the board and some runs on the board. And it just never had a chance.
If you limit the other team to three runs, even in the playoffs,
you did your job.
I expect you to have a chance to win that game. And the Guardians had chances. They were never really a threat.
No.
And this is an absolute kick in the ass. Like, I'm having emotional issues. I'm just pissed.
It's okay. It'll be all right.
My mental health is fine. What I mean is, it definitely affected my mood because this was a winnable game. And at no point, I think they let the crowd get to them. I think, listen, let's just have a real honest-to-God conversation. I'm so happy that you do have guys who have permission to swing for the fences. You don't have to do it every time. Josh Naylor, you can shorten up. Like, honestly, Quan had almost half your hits?
Quan had a great game.
Because he's shortening up. He had a little blooper to left field, just took it the other way. He's taking, you don't, like, this is the thing. If you are all gas, no breaks, it doesn't work if you don't have enough great hitters. If you are no gas, all breaks, it doesn't work. And these 2 years have been the extremes of this. There has to be balance. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Because listen, Jose deserves. He's at the masthead of blame. That was putrid. And I'm sorry, miss me with you're going to hit something, you're going to throw your helmet in the dugout. It's your approach. Listen, the Tigers are good. But they're playing into what you're doing, and your approach is what sucks right now. But I'll just tell you right now, Josh Naylor, I like this dude. I love the fire that he plays with. Get your head out of your ass, Josh Naylor, because you are swinging through your.
I thought you were going to go for the error that he had at first base.
Well, the error I kind of understand.
I thought you were going to go after that one.
The error, the ball hopped up in his face.
Which Josh Naylor mishap got you more riled up today?
But, like, for the love of God, man, like, you are more than just. And here's the reason why the approach matters. You have nine innings. You had nine innings. And when people did what they should, you got guys on base.
Yeah.
And it inevitably came down to David Fry swinging for the fences, Josh Naylor swinging for the fences, Jose swinging for the fences. Be smarter. You played right into Detroit's hand today. You gave this game away.
I thought the day off was going to be enough time to wash it away. I just wonder if Kerry Carpenter broke him.
No,
I wonder.
I'm sorry. I know you don't
agree with it, but I wonder that.
I just think that's an excuse.
Tell me that they played today as if Kerry Carpenter didn't break him.
Well, no, but okay. So in fairness,
the Tigers players believed that was, you got after Clase and you did something nobody else had been able to do. Team of Destiny stuff. They, for 2 days, all they heard was Team of Destiny, and it came back into real life. And I tell you, this Tigers team right now, whether it's the fans, whether it's the players, they believe they have something very special over there.
Okay, but we asked ourselves, how are the Tigers going to respond to that game one loss? And for eight and two-thirds innings in game two, nary a peep. Not even so much as a dry fart out of that team. But they had a good at-bat at the right time.
Had a great at-bat.
Clase hung the wrong pitch at the wrong time. And so I gave you nine innings. All right, if Detroit fans can give the Tigers eight and a third inning to figure it out, you had time, and you just continue to back yourself into a corner. And listen, this is not even about...
If they played 20 innings today, they weren't going to score a run, Nick. This offense wasn't there. We're going to play unlimited innings today. I don't know that they're going to score a run.
Actually, you think of the error on Detroit, which got you on the base very quick, or got you on base in extra time there. If you look at all the little things, the only thing missing was the big hit. And the big hit is not always a home run. That's a big-ass ballpark to be swinging for the fences.
It's a pitcher's park.
And it was warning track power all damn day. And so I'm so disappointed that this team didn't understand at some point, hey, let's play a little smarter here. They're absolutely leaning into the fact that we're trying to Bazooka Joe everything 500 feet, and it ain't working. And instead of that, they're stubborn. They got into their own thing, and then they couldn't get their way out of it. And it just, listen, the series isn't over, guys. There are two more opportunities. I know why you feel like the series is over. But it is just disappointing when you see a team that you knew have had two chances to win games, and we gave you a pass. You're right on this. We gave you a pass on game two because that's a logical loss. This is illogical. This is guys trying to do too much. This is guys thinking about, I got to try and hit a home run on every pitch. Josh Naylor swinging out of his shoes,
yeah.
Which, by the way, at this point might have to be reinforced. Like, come on. Like, this was a dumb loss because the pitchers did everything they could.
The pitchers did more than enough.
And by the way,
I mean, I hammered Cobb before the game. Well, why? Because I'm like, oh, he's a 37-year-old who hasn't pitched in 5 weeks, and I he's only had three starts in a Guardians uniform. Like, how is this your Game 3 starter that you're putting out there? Cobb was fine. Cobb was not the reason why you lost the game.
I actually think the only reason Cobb got pulled is you were down 2-0, and I think Vogt felt like he had to do something. To like, because you couldn't risk another run there.
But you see what Detroit has done this for 2 months now, and maybe this like kind of woke people up to exactly what they're doing. They are scooble and a bullpen game, and that's it. But their bullpen game is really, really strong. Like, they got this thing down. That's why they had six different pitchers today. You notice nobody went through the lineup more than once, and they just they've maximized what they're able to do based off of the opener. I mean, they are doing what the 2016 Warriors did in stressing how many three-pointers they can shoot. That's what they're doing with the bullpen, and it's incredible to see. I hate it because I like starting pitching in baseball, but it's working in spades for them.
Yeah, the problem is they're taking your blueprint and beating you
and maximizing
upside
it.
The ass on
they're,
it.
They're maximizing yeah. what you're doing and have for 2 months now.
Okay, and in fairness, and I really want to know if you agree or disagree. When you approach at the plate the way they did consistently today, you're letting them do it. It's one thing to take your blueprint and just be better at it or just be the hotter team, but when you're giving outs away consistently and you just have, I mean, David Fry, crucial situation because you pinch hit him early for Manzardo because you loaded this lineup with lefties
right.
And then they outsmarted you. So like...
Well, and Vogt's not used to that. You can tell Vogt's not used to the when do I deploy my guys, when do I not? It's kind of been chaotic for the three games that we've seen.
But I feel like you gave this game... I didn't feel like you gave away game two. This one feels like you left a lot of meat out there. You left a lot of opportunities out there, and that's why I'm pissed about it.
And now if you get to a game five, you got to take on Skubal. And we saw what happened in game two.
I'm not... No.
That's tough.
Listen, the umpires can give you 3 inches of calls every single day.
And they did. They helped out Skubal a lot in that game.
But you know that. So you're helping them out with bad approach. You have to have balance. You can't just go up there and do this. 216-474-0092. Max in Bay Village, Matt in Cleveland, Jonathan in Akron. You guys are next. We want to hear from you guys. Did this feel like the Guardians gave one away on the road? Because that's where I'm at. I'm an emotional boy on 92.3 The Fan. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. You sure about that, Stephen Vogt? Everybody plays good baseball. Guardians now down 2-1 after the 3-0 loss to the Tigers in Game 3 in Detroit. And you teased this. This is a big moment for you.
Oh, yeah. Moment for me.
You've got a stat for today's game.
I'm trying to figure out, are we going to blame the offense at the end of the day, or are we going to blame Stephen Vogt at the end of the day? Because Vogt did not... He didn't do this game particularly well, and so this comes from Sarah Langs. The Guardians are the third team in postseason history with multiple pinch-hit plate opportunities through the first 3 innings of a game. And you saw what happened there, Nick. I mean, it's pretty obvious. He started with Montero, and then Hinch then moved to Herder, and he started with the right-hander to get them to bite in on the left-handed lineup. Herder came in, and then it felt like Stephen Vogt was scrambling to then try to fix his lineup, and it was just kind of like a, I think Stephen Vogt got.
Yeah, I think that's okay. So, yes. So, hey, what was that? The second inning or third inning, he pinch hits David Fry for Kyle Manzardo. And then
he follows it up with Noel for Brennan.
Yes.
And then Martinez for Bo Naylor.
So, Martinez? When was that? Was that in the eighth? That's when Austin Hedges came in the next inning. Okay.
Exactly right.
So, okay. Not great. Totally took the bait. I don't think you can even argue that. He's not swinging the bat like he's Henry Aaron here, right? Like,
for sure. At some point, the players do have to execute. Like, yeah. It doesn't negate the fact that Jose Ramirez's $100 million contract has one hit in this postseason. I keep bringing up Jimenez, but he does. He makes $100 million. That's the second biggest contract in Guardians history.
$100 million over like 7 years?
Well, we don't expect much for some reason out of him. And I understand we've adjusted who we think he is as a player.
Yeah, because we've watched every at-bat.
Making a lot of money for a guy that's gotten one hit this postseason.
But hey. He's a gold glove second baseman, and he could be really good at short,
with
too.
With the exception of Kwan and Rocchio, I can hammer anyone in that lineup right now for hitting. They've gone 20 scoreless.
I think it's all on Hosey. It's on Hosey and it's on Naylor. Here's the thing, because I can't remember who it was on social media. They're like, better hammer David Fry, too. David Fry absolved himself.
It was a really hard hit baseball.
David Fry, late in this game, and this was the last opportunity. This is when I think it felt like it was over. Hits a screamer at third base. Veerling.
Yeah.
Veerling makes a great play. And I'll be honest, so the probability on the 80% probability that goes for a hit. That's probably two runs.
It felt like Hayward at the end of the game against the Tigers in the first series, where he hits just a scorcher and you're like, well, I guess them's the breaks. Like that. He put good wood on it, they say. Nick didn't even bite on that one.
I didn't do it. No, because I'm mad now.
He's in this. That's how you know he's in. He doesn't take my bait.
Well, here's the thing.
The easy.
And you baited me so well there. Now I'm doing it. But here's the thing. I'm in such a grumpy mood about this. I've been a D twice
good
to
wood
Kayla.
Doesn't even make you happy.
In 20 minutes, I've been more mean to Kayla and short and snappy at her in 20 minutes.
Oh, we've all heard
than
it,
I
Nick.
Have our entire career, working together. And we've worked
you've
together
even,
now.
You've taken out on the big cheese. All sorts of people are catching
the
strays.
The big cheese deserves it. Mackenzie Flume got what she deserved. Colby and Jack right here.
That's right.
Pride, we're using prejudice. That joke for air.
Colby and Jack.
216-474-0092. How I think you felt about game two, I feel about game three. Game
like
two.
Like Dennis Allen, you let him off the hook type moment?
No, I just got kicked. Like every ounce of air has been just drawn out of me.
All right, so it took us a little bit longer to get there, but that matches my vibe. Remember we did a vibe check a few hours ago?
Yeah, thank you for
into
that, by the way.
Into game three, and I just listened to too much Detroit sports talk radio. It ruined my vibes completely.
Is that what happened to the Guardians bats?
Well, Cary Carpenter was Maglio Ordóñez in 06. This was the, according to them, one of the most consequential home runs in Tigers history, and they hadn't even played game three yet.
I just want to make sure.
That home run did something. I don't know if it broke the Guardians, but it did something for the Tigers.
No,
it did something for the Tigers.
No, we can't do that.
What do you mean we can't do that?
No,
it did something for the Tigers.
There's time in between games. You're professionals. You've got the franchise player. And the thing that chaps my ass about Hosey is I want it for him. It's right there. You are so great. Show everybody how great you are. Don't turtle. And he just turtled. And I think it's apparent because all anyone will ever say, the analysis I ever get about Jose Ramirez is he's the same guy every day. He wasn't today.
Meanwhile, he
was totally forcing it
you
today.
You turn on your TV screens and it feels like Lindor has big postseason hit after big postseason hit or a big hit in that final game against the Braves to get them into the postseason.
Why'd you have to do that?
Because it's the reminder out there.
You already you know what it in my Wheaties in the 2 o'clock hour when I was trying to get some good vibes
that was
out
a bridge
there.
Too far. It was a bridge too far.
About Wheaties or the Lindor
thing? True, though.
Okay.
It's true.
216-474-0092. It's time to vent. Max in Bay Village. Welcome to the show.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, Nick. You stole my thunder, brother.
Sorry, buddy.
I mean, this was a Steven Vogt being completely outclassed and bullied and outmanaged in every way possible. I can't even remember. I'm 31 years old, but I have watched and played and coached a lot of baseball in my life. I've never seen somebody not even take an at-bat and get pinched hit for before he has a chance.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that? I've never seen that.
It's wild. Vogt was so far in his head.
he was playing. I mean, he was just playing a different ball game than him. It doesn't make sense to me. And you play your best guys, and whatever happens, happens, in my opinion. Let them play their game. Let them play their mind games and whatever they're going to do. Set their lineup late. Decide who they're going to throw on the mound to start. That starter threw, I think, 6 pitches in the first inning. Our approach was terrible. We go into that second inning. We get 2 guys on base, and Jimenez can't even get down a bunt. He tries twice. Can't even get down a bunt to get the guy over to second and third. Just the game was pathetic from beginning to end. Vogt got outmanaged, and I love the guy. I mean, he's been fantastic all year. And it's unfortunate that it's come to game 3 in this series with the ALDS against the Tigers to prove that, man, he's just not at that level of a guy like A.J. Hinch, which is sad and it sucks. But it is what it is.
Max, real quick, what chance are you giving the Guardians to get back in, to actually win this series?
You know, Nick, I was at the ALDS of Game 2 against the Yankees in 17 when Lindor hit the grand slam off the pole and we took a 2-0 lead, and I thought there was no way we were going to lose, and we did. So at this point, I don't know. I don't know if luck's just not on our side. I mean, there's always hope, but God, I don't think it's going to happen.
All right, Max. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, and Max.
Keep your head up. You know,
yeah, man.
It's one thing when I feel this way, when that I was... feel everybody else feel this way. It's just like, let the big bear get his paws on you. Like, let me give one of these hugs here, because I'm an excellent hugger, and I just feel like we just need to hug it out right now. I've given you, like, multiple different references from Hollywood there.
I think you owe Kayla a hug after what happened in between the break.
I think HR would prefer that I don't do that.
That's
right,
true.
Now.
We do have to draw a line somewhere.
But you know what? That could be my one thing. Now, that being said...
inside Odyssey jokes?
It was in Inside Courses.
Is that what happened there?
That's true. There's one show here that thinks they can do all the inside jokes. No. I'm going inside audio, Odyssey. I know the name of the station.
An Odyssey station.
Thank you, Kayla, for bailing me out for whatever stammering crap I was doing there. I think it's on the guys. Like, I think Vogt did absolutely get outclassed and outthought with pinch hitting specifically. I'll say he did a pretty damn good job managing the bullpen. I think he did a great job understanding that I think Alex Cobb was actually doing okay, but okay probably wasn't going to get done. Like, there are other things I can point to with Vogt that I think he did a good enough job at that don't necessarily absolve him. But how can I absolve Hosey? 0-3.
You can't. You can't.
0-0.
It reminds me of, remember the Cavs-Knicks series from a couple years ago? Jared Allen's like, oh, the lights are too bright and all that nonsense. But they shot miserably from three-point land in that series. And I remember thinking at the time, I'm like, this isn't Bickerstaff's fault. He did a lot wrong in the series, but it still was, at some point you have to execute. At some point, Jose has to be able to hit a baseball like he's been doing for the past 10 years as a Hall of Fame player.
Jonathan in Akron, welcome to the show, bud.
What's up, guys? So here's kind of my 2 cents. I think, honestly, we just don't have enough horses in the stable offensively. And I mean, look at it, the second half of the year, we were pretty anemic. And I was afraid once the pitching got good that this was going to kind of catch up and
Jonathan,
happen.
You mean only trading for Lane Thomas as a bat wasn't enough?
It's been waiting for
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Oh, color me shocked.
And what really, you know, what's happening is exactly what I said was going to happen. When you don't have a bottom part of the lineup that's hitting, then that means your 3 or 4 guys who are actually decent major league talent, they're going to start pressing. And you know what happens when you start pressing? You start trying to play hero ball. Like you were talking about, Nick, every one of those guys today, you could see it. You could see it in their swings. They were trying to play hero ball because they don't feel like the rest of the team's got enough in them to get the runs and the hits we need. You know, I hate to say it because we've got an elite bullpen. We don't have great starting pitching right now, and we don't have a great offense right now. So, you know, normally when these losses happen, I'm kind of like heartbroken and just, you know, really down. But I just don't think we have it this year. You know, we're young, and I hate to say there's always next year, but, you know, this team really does, moving forward with all the pieces that we've got in place, a first-year manager, the guys like Manzardo, a bunch of other young players who are just getting their feet wet. I think we're kind of playing with house money, honestly, and I know that's probably not a popular opinion, but I feel like this is the kind of series and this is the kind of playoffs these guys need to kind of, you know, you got to fall down before you get back up and get really good. Very, very rarely does rookies come in and do something really special and win a World Series. I just, you know, I kind of feel like we are right where I thought we would be, and I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing. I think this might be exactly what we need for this team to kind of push things moving forward, including managing and players. I really do.
Jonathan, we appreciate you. you, buddy.
Nick, am I taking crazy pills? We won the AL Central, and we had the second best record in baseball, and now we're just playing with house money?
So, I agree. I'll be honest with you. I think they do have enough talent. Because I think you saw, I don't think the first 80 games of the season were a mirage. And I think what happened is at some point there was an inflection point where you saw the guys start to press. But if you remember those first 80 games, and I'm not trying to call back to things that happened four months ago, but I didn't dream them either.
Yeah.
But the way you were doing is you were getting enough hitting, and meaning you were still getting quality at bats through your six through nine.
Yeah.
But the one through five were doing a lion's share of the lifting. And I think the problem is right now, like, the two hole is still too much of a hole.
Well, a lot of guys have escaped. I mean, David Fry was an all-star, remember?
Yeah, well, but, and I do
now,
think...
Now we dread when he comes to the plate.
I mean, I think David has been hurt. I do think that shoulder thing's a real thing. I think that hurts you defensively. I think that hurts you hitting-wise. And so I can't hate a guy for playing through it.
Right, but we had a lot of stretches with different players, like Noel, for instance, where it felt like every time he came to the plate, it was a home run.
But I don't think it's talent-based. I do think it's approach. I think they got so cocky. And I think they did the thing that I think they did 2 years ago, which is why last year was a lost year. They just, once there was some sort of inflection point where they stopped just playing within themselves and knowing when to swing for the fences and when to shorten up, and they just... They looked like they were getting close to it in September, but the problem is, if you don't have that sorted out in October, this is where your weaknesses are magnified to such a degree, it doesn't matter. 216-474-0092, Alfonso, Steve, Chris, Edwina, that's a real, I'm not making that up, Edwina, John, we want to know, are you putting this on the bats? Are you putting this on Hosey? You putting this on Vote? One more segment to go, you're going to hear some sound as well from the Gardos next on 92.3 The Fan. Final segment of today's show. Don't forget Browns programming coming up from 7 to 8. Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin with Spencer German. Coming up at 8, we got plenty to get to. Want to say a quick thank you to Ron Rivera, Todd Blackledge, Ross Tucker, and Albert Breer for joining us on the show today. But we are dissecting, whoopsie-daisy, the Game 3 loss by the Guardians. And we got some calls here we're going to take. We might get to some Stephen Vogt audio in just a moment here. But we're going to go with... Edwina, how are we feeling about this loss?
Edwina.
Hey.
Ah!
How are you all? First-time caller.
Well, it's great to have you here.
We need you around more often, Edwina.
I know. I've been up this road before where we see so many losses, but my viewpoint on all of this, after they lost Monday, and if you took a great look at Class A, it looked like he was a zombie. It's like, oh, what happened? And it's just the morale continue on to the day. And I don't see any, like you said, any, you know, bat swinging or anything, any power. And I don't see the smoke. I want to see the smoke.
You want the smoke?
Yes, I want the smoke.
Edwina, do you feel like Kerry Carpenter just destroyed the morale of the Guardians with that home run?
I mean, probably so. You know, and like you said before, I'm not making any excuses. You know, the excuses about the crowd was too loud. You got to block that out. If you really want this, you want your heart into it, you want to get on top of stuff, you got to block this stuff out. You got to. Or you're not going to win. And if they lose, they don't have nobody to blame but themselves. They got to get it together. I don't want to hear about, well, there's next year. I get so sick of hearing that same phrase, there's next year. But they got to get their heart and soul in this and forget about all this junk and come back and win. They got to do that. They got to do that.
Edwina, this is a great first call. We appreciate it. Top of the list. From now on, when you call in, you're the top of the list. That's how damn good you were today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear.
Look at that. That was such a nice way she said that.
Yeah, I like that.
Here's the thing. Here's why. You doubted that you thought it was like an Edwin.
I thought it was an Edwin that Jax
misgendered.
Yeah, I didn't think he did his job
and that
right.
Did not. Now, I think you need to apologize to Jax. I apologize to Kayla for being a D for the first
Yeah, Jax,
minutes.
That's my bad, man. I always believe in you. Yeah. I always believe in you.
You'll always have Edwina. Let's go with Earl in Cleveland. Earl, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
I have been better. This game's kind of upsetting
understand.
Me.
Why they always, every year, oh, we got a nice pitching staff, a nice pitching staff. We got four or five guys that can start and come. Where's the batters? They never get no freaking batters, man. I don't understand that. When you coming down the stretch, other teams are looking for somebody they can trade, they can bat the ball. The guy Lane, he was a decent pickup. But every year, I mean, every freaking year, no batters. Then you turn right around. The same thing with the Browns. Well, you know, they got the best offensive line the last two or three years. What happened? You get rid of players that didn't improve themselves. Look at Kareem Hunt. He had 95 and 85 yards the first time he played with Kansas City with 16 carries. Then he get another 102 yards. And this guy that they got that's wearing Kareem's old number, when is he going to show up? And that freaking wide receiver Moore, they need to call him no more.
I mean, Earl, we're doing Guardians here, man.
Earl, we appreciate you, buddy.
It did not take long to twist that into a Browns comment.
Did we get bait and switch there?
That's what happened, yeah.
You kind of broke my ankles there. I'll be honest with you. I think if you think Carpenter broke the guard, then I think that's an excuse. That you had every opportunity to win this game, and you just didn't.
At some point, though, we have to figure out why we don't have offense in the postseason. Now, we've gone through 10 playoff games in the 2022 and 2024 seasons combined, and are averaging 2.4 runs per game.
I'll be honest with you.
2.4, Nick.
I don't think it's Jose that's the regular season player. I don't think Jose has the right protection. This is where I will look to Josh Naylor and go, pretty one-dimensional to me.
Look at the Yankees lineup, right? You can't really avoid Aaron Judge because Soto's right around the corner. Like, he's got the protection.
But how many teams in a small market, mid-market, whatever you want to call this, have two hitters like that?
But the one time we've seen him do it and hit well, Jose was in the 2016 World Series when he had Lindor protecting him.
Yeah, well, okay, so that is fair. Here's the problem. It's not just they don't have him. They've been trying their theory, which is it's kind of like their pitching theory for a minute. We're going to draft guys who are good contact hitters in college, and then we're going to hope we can add power to them. It just hasn't worked. Like, point blank has not worked. And that is a huge flaw that I think we're going to do better at, but I don't know. Like, we might be 2 years away from that. Whatever changes in theory.
Well, and
is paying
at that
dividends.
Point, Jose will be 34, 35 years old, and I mean, at some point, the wheels will start to fall off with them. That's why this postseason does matter so much. Like, you only have so many great Jose seasons left. How long is he going to take it?
Well,
to where he's going to be at the top of his game.
So, what stings about this so much? If you look, probably going to be the Mets and Padres coming out of the NL. The Royals have a legitimate chance to go ahead and take that series.
Yeah.
If it ends up being the Padres, Mets, Royals, and Tigers in the CSs, it will. There's no way to look at this. Then you missed a massive opportunity. Maybe your best chance to win a World Series ever since 1948.
Yeah, just the way the field is set up, for sure.
Yeah, and so I think that's where the kick in the pants is. I'm not counting them out. I'm pissed about this game. This was a hateful loss.
The cool thing about it, though, if you want to take like a positive approach, is that we did get Schuble right where we wanted him with game two. You got it to the eighth inning where he was nullified. The entire outing that he had, because it was scoreless, you still had a chance to win that game, was nullified. You got to win game four. Maybe you can do that in game five as well.
So that sucked, but we got two more games to go, hopefully, here. Game four tomorrow, of course. That's going on during the show, so we'll have some reaction when that one goes final. Big thanks to Kayla Colejohn. Big thanks to Jax Gregory. Big thanks to Big Cheese, Mackenzie Flume. Big thanks to Meredith Kane. JP, you have been exceptional last three days, really, because you were out with me on Monday as well. I appreciate you, buddy.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I'll see you on Friday.
Yeah.
I'll be back at my own show, though.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
In case you weren't curious, your own schedule. I'll be back at my own show.
No. I ask Keith every day. What's going on today? Who do I got today? Who am I again? Browns programming coming up next, but we do have Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin with Spencer German coming up tonight at 8. Stay tuned to our boy Spencer. We're going to be back tomorrow. We got to turn around quick here. Let's go, guards. And get your head out of your ass, Browns. See you tomorrow, too. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.